Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
And open them to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today, many watching us online, are believers in Jesus, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Do I have to persevere to the end to be saved? Why am I not experiencing victory in my Christian life? And number three, do I need God's people? These are some questions that are answered in our text today. And I'd like to read from my copy of God's Word, if you follow along in your copy. This is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Remember that this overarching umbrella is looking unto Jesus. And one of the key words in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. And here in this first section of our text, the Bible is making the case that Jesus is better than Moses. Evidently, these Hebrews those that had come to know the Lord, they were under persecution. One of the reasons Hebrews was written was to have those believers to hold on, to hang on, and to remain true. And I think that that is a dilemma for all of us. We don't go back necessarily to Egypt, but we go back to the law, or we go back to whatever we were worshiping before we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the world looks really good. And so he's challenging these Hebrews to keep looking unto Jesus, and he's making the case. There are three basic movements and things that Jesus is saying to us. The title of today's message is Look to Jesus, He is Speaking to You. Look to Jesus, He is Speaking to You. Because I want you to see in verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. This is the only time that Jesus is referred to in this way. And the word apostle is one sent with a commission, with a message. So the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us, and the Holy Spirit, God uses the Holy Spirit, but we know that the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 1 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here is the Lord Jesus, the one who is sent with a message. He's commissioned to give us a message. So what are his messages? There are three things that I want you to kind of have a handle on as we look at this very interesting and exciting text of Scripture. The first one is this, stay the course. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. It says that, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast. That word hold fast means to stay the course. It's a nautical term. And he and what Jesus is saying to you, you are to look to him because he's speaking to you. He is saying to me and he's saying to you, stay the course. Now, it's obvious that when a person comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that the devil is real. The devil's trying to get us off track. The devil's trying to take our eyes off of the Lord. And so much of this book of Hebrews is about looking unto Jesus and letting him guide us. And so he's saying to us, to stay the course. Jesus is referred to as the apostle. And look at verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. So we are to think about what is Jesus' message to us as believers in Jesus Christ. He's talking to believers. He says, holy brethren, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And so he's talking to believers, and it refers to Jesus being sent from God. He is the apostle sent from God with a message. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent, Jesus is an apostle, a sent one, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is referred to also in this text as our high priest. He is our representative before God. If you also look over across the page, maybe it's that close to you, in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, the scripture says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. There's that phrase again. So we are to hold fast the commitment in verse 6 that we made, the confidence and the rejoicing. So Moses was primarily the prophet of law, while Jesus Christ is the messenger of God's grace. And in verses 1 through 6, the writer of Hebrews is not diminishing anything Moses did, but he is exalting Jesus and his glory above that of Moses. Look at this. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. To the Jew of this day, Moses was a great hero. Outside of Abraham, he was the one who was revered the most. Moses gave the law, and Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. And so Moses was looked to, and so as these Jews were thinking about, they were wavering in their commitment, in their faithfulness. They were wavering. They tended to want to go back to Moses. The Bible is telling us here that we are to look to Jesus. Even though Moses was wonderful, he did a great thing. He was very faithful. As it says, we are to look to the one who has been counted worthy of more glory, verse 3, than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, and it's inferring that Jesus Christ is the one over the house. Now, what is the house? It's the people of God. The house is the people of God. And it says, who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. So in one verse it's saying Jesus is the one who built the house, and the other verse it's saying God built the house. What does that say about Jesus? He's God. So we have a what they call a Christological point being made here in this text, that Jesus Christ is God. And so it makes it clear, Moses was faithful. We see that in verse 2 and in verse 5. Look at verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful. He was faithful in all his house. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, it says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. And so God said in the Old Testament, Moses was faithful. And so we see that this text is saying Moses was faithful. But it also says Jesus was faithful and he was the creator. Not only was he faithful, but Jesus was the creator of it all. And then Moses was a servant, the scripture saying in verse 5, but Jesus was the son. And so therefore, it's not diminishing anything about what Moses did, but it's just saying, if you're going back to Moses as a Jew, you're making a mistake, because Jesus is the creator. He built the house, and he's the son. Moses was a testimony of the things that would come, and Jesus brought the gospel. And so Moses ministered in that way, and Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus is speaking us today, and he's basically saying to us, stay the course. Now, I want to go back to that phrase, to hold fast the confidence, because at the beginning I asked you the question, do I have to remain and persevere to the end in order to be saved? In other words, as a believer in Christ, are you working right now to make sure you persevere all the way to the end, or you will lose your salvation? That is not what this text is saying. What this text is saying, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, which is demonstrated by holding fast. In other words, what the text is saying is that if you are saved, you will persevere. Now, it's not so much that we are wound up all working to try to please God in the sense of earning our salvation by persevering. But no, the scripture is saying it is a given that if you are truly born again, you will hold fast. You will persevere until the end. So, the first thing that Jesus says to us is we are to stay the course in verses 1 through 6. Now, the second thing is this: obey the Holy Spirit while there's time. Look at verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go back, because we need to look at this. I want you to go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 17. All right, go all the way back to Exodus. The reference here that he's making is to Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. And I just want to read that. You follow along as I read it. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses. Now they had been delivered. They had been delivered from Egypt. You remember the Passover, the blood of the lambs had been put on the doorpost, and the death angel had passed over. And then the Pharaoh said, let the people go. And so they left, and they were in the wilderness. God intended for them to go into Canaan, the promised land, a place where they would have victory and blessing, and yet they were grumbling. Therefore the people contended with Moses, verse 2, and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, which means tempted and contention, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so here is a pattern that God's people had when they were delivered. They said, in one place they said, we want to go back to Egypt. Didn't we have food over there? Things got a little tough. And so the picture for us is sometimes in the Christian life, things get tough. Let me say that again. Sometimes when you give your life to the Lord, things get difficult. Things get tough. You have to have a backbone. You have to stay and hold fast to the confidence that you have in your faith in the Lord. And yet these people were always in contention with God. And so the Lord, therefore, he said, I was angry with that generation. And so we are to obey the Holy Spirit while there is time. It uses the term today, if you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts. And that's what happened in this passage in Exodus. They hardened their hearts. Dr. John MacArthur tells a story of when he was young, he was in a very bad car accident, was evidently thrown out of a car, and he ended up on his back going across the pavement, and it really tore up some of his back, and scar tissue came on his back. And in the story, he said, even after all these years, there are places that I have that scar on my back that it's not sensitive to touch. That scar tissue is kind of hardened, and that's not sensitive. And this is what can happen to us if we don't obey the Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to obey while there is time. He says, do not harden your heart. The Lord says, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. They hardened their hearts, and they tested the Lord. He says, I swore in my wrath, verse 11, he says, I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Now, one more place I want you to go is the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, you remember, God sent Joshua and Caleb over to the promised land, and he said, I want to know what's over there. I want you to come back and give a report. Joshua and Caleb and 10 others went over there. Well, Joshua and Caleb were faithful to the Lord. They said, we can go into this land, the promised land, and we can take it. But the other 10 had a bad report, and they didn't believe, they didn't have faith that God would give them the victory. And so the minority report failed, and so God was upset and angry. So in Numbers chapter 14, verse 23, the scripture says this: "They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So what was the Lord saying? The Lord was wanting to take his people into a great victory, into the promised land where there was milk and honey, and yet the people complained. The people wanted to go back to Egypt. The people didn't believe. And so, church family, what the Lord is saying to us is that if we're going to have victory in our life, we've got to be obedient to the Lord. You find so many people that have given evidence that they have professed their faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they don't have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord said, as long as you're disobedient, you're not going to have that victory. You're not going to go into the land. He says in verse 11, he says, "I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest." The Canaan rest is victory in Christ. It's victory in the Word. It's the Lordship of Christ. It's the Canaan rest is a picture of our present rest as we claim our inheritance in Christ. You know, the scripture says that we have been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And even though life is difficult, we can live it with joy. We can live it with victory. And yet, if we don't obey the Lord, if we continue to reject and have unbelief, then we will not have that victory. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 there across the page. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." He's equating that unbelief with disobedience. He says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So as a believer in Jesus Christ, he equates that with the Word. So as the Word of God is real to us, as the Word of God changes our life, then we have victory. But if we say no, we don't obey the Lord, and the Lord is saying to us, stay the course. Number one, he's saying obey the Holy Spirit while there's time, then we will not have the victory. The scripture says that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the victory in the Christian life is based upon us being obedient to the Lord. Now in verse 12, the scripture says, beware. There's a warning. This is an urgent cause for apprehension. Look at it with me in verse 12. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief." That phrase, an evil heart of unbelief, is the opposite of faithfulness. So for a believer in Christ to be unfaithful to Christ, in other words, to not live obediently to the Lord, beware. Because there will not be victory for you. And it says there, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That word departing means to rebel. This is a picture of rebellion. Now we find in Hebrews and other places that the Lord chastens his children. Now you have children. If you have children, you know that part of it is to discipline them. And you discipline them because you love them. Well, the Lord disciplined these in the Old Testament. He did not allow them into Canaan because of their unbelief, because of their unfaithfulness, their rebellion. He's equating this with rebellion. And church family, we are to obey the Holy Spirit according to what Jesus is speaking to us. He's the apostle that we're to look to. We're to look unto Jesus. And as Jesus brings conviction, we are to obey him. So, he says, in rebelling from the truth in verse 12, or departing from the living God, to rebel. We are to turn over the controls of our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember being in college here, and we were using a little booklet, The Four Spiritual Laws. There are four spiritual laws in the universe, and you can lead somebody to Christ using that great tool that Campus Crusade for Christ and Bill Bright developed. But there's another tool that Campus Crusade came up with, and they said, have you heard of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit? And this is the victorious Christian life that is for the Christian. And in that booklet, there was an illustration of a throne inside a circle, the circle representing your life, and there was a throne. And the question is, Christ can be inside, but is he on the throne? Is he Lord? And the warning here is for believers, you will never experience victory unless Jesus has control fully of your life. When I was younger, my pastor used to tell a story about a man who was teaching another man to fly, a pilot. He was learning and getting his pilot's license, and there was an instructor, and it was one of those planes that had two controls, and the instructor could control it, and then he could turn it over to the other guy learning. And the other guy could say, man, I'm nervous, I'm letting go. And he said, okay, I got it, you know. He said, now let's try to go in for this landing. And that guy would take his controls and do it like that. Well, the story my pastor told was of a guy who got up there and froze, and he was holding on to his part. He was the learner, and he was holding on to his thing, but he had locked up. And the instructor said, hey, let go of the controls, turn over the controls, and the man just, he froze. And they were coming down towards the land at a very high, rapid pace, and the people in the control tower could hear on the radio the instructor saying to the guy, hey, turn over the controls. And then it got more intense. Turn over the controls. Turn over the controls. And both of them were killed because that man would not turn over the controls. Ladies and gentlemen, the victorious Christian life comes to those who turn over the controls and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, whatever your questions are, the answer is yes. And as the Holy Spirit speaks and as Jesus speaks to us about things in our life that need to change, then we are willing to make those changes. So remember, we're looking unto Jesus in the book of Hebrews. And we're looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he's speaking to you. What is he saying? He's saying, number one, stay the course. Don't look back at the world. Don't put your eye on the world, but keep your eye focused on Jesus and the life and the passion and the mission that God has given you. And then he's saying, obey the Holy Spirit while there's time. And then the third thing in this text is look out for one another daily. There's a real emphasis in Hebrews on the church. It's amazing. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 10 that is often quoted about the assembling of the believers together. It's important that we assemble. It's been difficult in this pandemic. I'm thankful that we have a way that we're able to do that. And y'all do a good job. Everybody's doing a good job of keeping things sanitized, and we're trying to protect one another. But it's a blessing that we can gather. It was interesting when we first didn't gather because of the pandemic. We really enjoyed the initial excitement of doing the online, and we had a neat. Our worship was fabulous, and God was using it, and we were staying in touch. But as time goes by, you realize that we need one another. Can I say that? Now look at this text here. It says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Interesting. The word exhort there means to encourage. It means to call in a loud voice. Hey, how you doing? Hey, can I pray for you? Encourage, exhort one another daily, it says, while it is called today, to call in a loud voice. You know, Proverbs chapter 27 says this, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We need one another. And the scripture says, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. The word deceitful is the word strategy or trickery. Oh, Christian friend, you do know Satan wants to trick you, don't you? You do know Satan wants to trap you. You do know Satan wants to soil your life and dirty you up so that you have no witness. Yesterday, we had a memorial service here for Ann Thompson, and I used the text in the scripture in Psalm 23, and it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Because the devil wants to dirty us up, because if you're a believer in Christ, you represent Jesus to this world. And if we're living in disobedience and rebellion, then we have no witness. And so it says the deceitfulness of sin, the strategy or the trickery of sin. Thinking about us needing one another, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, we'll get to this next week, but it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Let us, he's talking about the body, talking about the people. And then I want you to look over at verse 11. Let us therefore, this is chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then go over to the passage I referenced in chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 24, excuse me. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Us is talking about the body. And then it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, we need one another. And I don't know how much longer I'm so grateful that we have the vaccine, and I know some of our people, even in our church, have already received the vaccine. I'm so thankful, and I'm hoping and praying that one day there will be no restrictions, there'll be no inability for us to gather. Why? Because Hebrews makes it clear the people of God need one another. Now, we can improvise, and we can do some things that, like we're doing. We're doing some Zoom meetings, we're doing some small group meetings, and we're meeting once a week right here in worship, which is wonderful. But it is true that we need one another. And it says in verse 14, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ. We are participants and sharers in Christ. And then it says this, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Oh, there it is again. If we hold, I have circled in my Bible that word if, and I have out to the side, if indeed, because the flavor of this is the same as verse 6, and it's the idea that if you are truly saved, then you will hold to the very end. So you will have that confidence and steadfastness to the end. And then in verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Once again, featuring that story that we read. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt? They all rebelled. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. The word unbelief there is the opposite of, it comes from the word faith, but it is rooted in sin. It's a visible sign of unbelief, and it is disobedience. In John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the message that Jesus has for us in this text is this: stay the course, obey the Holy Spirit while there's time. Number three, look out for one another. Hey, I encourage you, if the Lord puts somebody on your heart, give them a call and encourage them. Say, hey, can I pray with you? We need one another, because the devil wants to isolate us. And as we're isolated, all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you can have a wandering eye towards the world. And the Lord is not pleased with that. So here's my takeaways from this passage. Number one, check your salvation. You are not saved because you persevere. You persevere because you are saved. Bottom line is, if you're wavering big time, it's a reason to check your salvation. Because ultimately, those who are saved will persevere, the Scripture teaches. So number one, check your salvation. Number two, is Jesus Lord? Is he on the throne? The rest of the Lord, the victory that we have in this life, comes when Jesus is Lord and we obey his word and we do not rebel against that word. And then number three, how are you in the body? How are you in amongst believers? Are you plugged in? Do you have assignments? Are you encouraging others? Are you being accountable in your own Christian life? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.